Just to take a couple of moments of personal privilege, I want to just remind everybody that next Sunday is kind of an unusual Sunday in the life of our church, in that our bishop, newly elected, is coming from Switzerland all the way to Prague. And so there'll be a special worship service in Jeczna. You can see it if you go to our Facebook page or our website. It'll give you the address. But there'll be a 10 a.m. service, and our superintendent has asked us, encouraged us all who can make it to join the bishop and the other churches for a special service next Sunday. So this is going to be the only time in the year that you'll hear a pastor up front saying this to you. Don't come to church here next Sunday. How about that? Next Sunday, we will not meet like normal here. We will meet an hour earlier near the Stefanska tram bus stop. There'll be a special worship service at 10 a.m. So also with that, next week is this coming week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, will be just blissful meetings. It's our annual conference. Once a year, all the district churches who work together in the Czech United Methodist Church will come together for meetings. And we just encourage you to pray for us. There's lots of kind of consequential things being discussed and votes ahead. And there's talk of whether the Czech church will become autonomous or remain with the United Methodist Church. So anyway, if you want to know more of the nitty-gritty, get-in-the-weeds details, feel free to talk to Rob, McCall, Kirk, myself, and we'll tell you more of the details. But just wanted to remind all of us, even remind me, next week it's not normal. So next week, no normal, 10 a.m. at a different location. Okay, good. We got that out of the way. I want to talk to you about keys. I'm not going to talk to you about the fact that I lose my keys often. That wasn't what I was going to talk about, though I do. I was going to talk to you about how every time I move and I come to a new church, I'm given a bunch of keys. And these are the keys I was given for this church. And thankfully, I think most every single one on this chain, I know what it opens. but sometimes I get keys for a church facility, and I don't know what some of them open. Have you ever had that where you found a key? Maybe at grandma's house, you know, where you find an old key, and you're like, huh, I wonder what this key opens. Have you ever had that experience? I kind of think that's fun. Because, maybe fun's not the right word, mysterious, empowering. Because if you find what this key opens, it unlocks a whole new world to you. Or maybe if you find some old small key at grandma's house, maybe it opens some lockbox with hidden treasure and jewels. Who knows, right? So keys can represent, opening even see. And I use it. I think it's perhaps one of the most consequent, significant, pivotal, key type chapters in the New Testament. Why? Because in chapter 2, we see that the prophecy or the prediction or the teaching of Jesus comes into action. So chapter 1 of Acts, if you remember it from last Sunday, great. If you weren't here, haven't read it lately, look at Acts 1. Acts 1 is when Jesus appears to his disciples, raised from the dead, and he tells the disciples, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come to you. Wait for the Holy Spirit. So Acts 2, you see the disciples gathering together and doing as Jesus asked. There's some obedience there. The next steps in their life were, okay, we've been following Jesus around. Jesus was crucified. Now he's raised from the dead. Now he's ascended. He's returned to glory. And now we're to wait for the next step. And the next step is the promise of the Spirit. So you see the disciples gathered together, and then it happens. And you can tell the writer, Luke, here is struggling with, how do I describe exactly what happened here? And so it's described as, what happens is they're in this room and there's some supernatural activity going on. There's some miracles, some signs, some wonders, some tangible senses that something isn't normal. Maybe that's a word we're going to use today. Normal, not normal. And so the scripture says that all of a sudden the disciples hear wind. They hear wind. Now, can you think back to the last time you were outside on a windy day? Can you remember what wind sounds like, right? So here they are in a room, but they're hearing wind. And then they're in the room and they look around and they see fire. Hey, Kate and I, we wore red today. Fire. Now, I'm pretty sure this wasn't normal fire. This wasn't fire that if I put my hand over this candle that's lit, I would burn it kind of fire. This was kind of a supernatural manifestation, and the writer describes it like tongues of fire. Maybe you've seen artwork trying to capture this with the idea of little flames resting above the disciples' heads. So there's this sense of there's something extraordinary happening in this moment. There's wind, there's fire, and then the next sign, the next miracle, the disciples start to speak in unknown tongues. In unknown tongues. Now, I want us to consider the amazing reality of this, because these disciples were mostly from Galilee, which is a region in Jerusalem. Many of them were not educated men, like take Peter. He was a fisherman. I'm confident he was not the most educated man, not the most eloquent man, not the most learned in languages throughout the known world. And here was the disciples, the Galilean followers of Jesus, men and women, gathered and speaking in all of these tongues, in these languages. And it says that the people, there were people coming into Jerusalem. Jerusalem is such a city of pilgrimage. And so at this time, there's the festival of Pentecost. The festival of Pentecost. So that would have brought people all over the known world to come and celebrate the festival. And so the people were amazed because they heard about the mighty works of God in their own language. Did you catch that? So there's people from Africa, people from Asia, people from Europe, people from the Middle East, all over. And they're hearing about God in their own language. I think that's so cool and amazing. And one of the reasons I love working with international church context, because I think you see right here with the coming of the Holy Spirit, the heart of God is for all people. Do you see that? God wants all the people of the earth, all the languages, to know about how God has loved them. And so the people are amazed. How come I'm from Egypt And I'm hearing about the amazing work of God in my language. How is that? And this guy, he's a Galilean. Like, that makes no sense. So I want you to see this kind of very supernatural, unusual setting where we have signs and wonders. We have wind, we have fire, we have unknown languages. And it says some people are amazed and some people start mocking. Right? If we were having Twitter feeds, there'd be some pretty good jokes going around right here. And they're starting to say, these guys are drunk. These guys got some of that new Czech wine that comes out at certain seasons, and they're toast. And Peter gets up and gives an explanation, a proclamation. You could say this is the first sermon of the church as it's beginning in Acts 2. Many people point to Acts 2 as the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birthday of the church, the start of the church. And Peter gets up and says, hey, people, we're not drunk. How about that? We have not been drinking. It's 9 in the morning. Let me tell you about what's happened. What's happened here is that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us. And then he goes on to quote an Old Testament prophecy. So if you go back to the Old Testament, he goes back to the book of Joel and basically says the prophecy. Prophecy means forthtelling. So something that someone told way in history now is coming true. And this is a great prophecy. It talks about how God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. On all flesh. And I want you to see the equalizer the Spirit brings, or the inclusivity of the Holy Spirit. Because the prophecy says that God will pour out his Spirit on women as well as men. The prophecy says the Spirit will pour out on young people as well as old people. The prophecy says that the Spirit will pour out on people with money and with none, with status and with none. In other words, God's Spirit doesn't want to play favorites. God's Spirit wants to bless each person, all flesh. All flesh. And I love the kind of cross-cultural, radical nature of the coming of the Holy Spirit here. And then it goes on to say that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then the rest of chapter 2 is Peter's ongoing proclamation. And the scripture says that at some point the people in the crowd, there was a huge crowd that kept coming up. That the crowd, someone yelled out and said, well, what do we do? What do we do? What does this mean? And Peter gives some very simple instructions. He says, you need to repent. In other words, you need to ask God for forgiveness for your sin, for anything you've done that's not honoring to God. I've had someone explain sin as anytime you capitalize the I in sin. In other words, whenever you make yourself the center of the universe instead of God. That's what sin is. And so there's this call to repentance, there's a call to receive forgiveness, and then there's a call to believe. To believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he is, and receive the Lord by faith. That's called salvation in the New Testament. To be saved from your sin and to confess faith in the Lord Jesus. And then Peter says, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39. For the promise of the Spirit is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, anyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And it ends in this little section saying that thousands came to believe in Jesus and to receive the presence of the Holy Spirit that day. So this was a really powerful, pivotal moment in the beginning of the church. And you see men and women who had been timid, who had been uneducated, all of a sudden, people like Peter standing up to give a very profound message about Jesus Christ and an invitation for faith and to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to say to you that the Holy Spirit is a key in the Christian life. And I want to say to all of us, don't forget you can have this key. Scripture tells us that when we confess Jesus as our Lord, we can receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God that comes to dwell with us, meaning we're not alone, meaning that we're given power, that we're given God's presence, we're given supernatural wisdom, and yes, sometimes supernatural miracles can happen, just like you see in Acts chapter 2. Now, I'll be upfront to say Christian scholars and whole denominations discuss Acts chapter 2 and if what happened in Acts 2 can happen today. And there's all kinds of discussion and commentaries about how does Acts 2 play out in the Christian's life today. And I will say my bias. I'm not a cessationist. A cessationist is a theological term for Christians who believe Acts 2 was once in history, never to be repeated. I would say to you that if you read through not only Acts 2, but the whole of Acts and the New Testament, that following the Holy Spirit is often accompanied with signs and wonders and things that aren't normal. And I believe that the same Holy Spirit that was poured out in Acts 2 is available to us today, and that includes signs, gifts, and wonders. Now, we're going to talk more about that in the coming weeks, about more of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the Holy Spirit's gifts, the fruit, etc. Because I believe that these are keys for our lives. And oftentimes, as Christians, I think we can have keys that we don't even know what they open. And I want you to know these keys and access them and open the world to you that is through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's part of why and when Christianity, following Christ, can get really exciting, is when we open the door more and more to our lives, to the Holy Spirit in our lives.